Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion.
Sihamba ngokholo kunye nawe apha e Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Umhlobo wakho wemihla ngemihla.
Very good afternoon to you and welcome to the second hour if you've just tuned in. My name is Lukom Gwedi Puti. It is Wednesday's edition of Heart to Heart all the way up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Coming shortly is the Health Talks with Shadi Naidu. So whatever you do, don't go away. Stay tuned.
When the drive gets long, we are there. Listen live to Radio Pulpit on radiopulpit.co.za, DSTV 882 and OpenView 607. Also follow us on our social media, download our app and listen to our podcasts wherever you are. Radio Pulpit, still your daily companion.
Hello, hello, and welcome once again to this Wednesday's episode of Health Talks. It is, of course, Health Talks with Charlene Naidu today. Charlene is an editor of Wellbeings Africa. So December is supposed to feel joyful, that we know. But for many of us, it's a month that brings pressure, exhaustion, money stress, and complicated family dynamics. This time can feel very stressful. So how do we bring a little more calmness and peace in it? That's a question you're probably also asking yourself, because I don't know how December can have a sense of calmness. But we're going to have this chat with Charlene, and she's going to fill us in a little bit. Perhaps it's going to help one or two people. Charlene, good afternoon. Welcome back, my sweetie.
Hi, Luko. It's so nice to be here as always. And hello to everyone listening. Listen, today's discussion is also very much for me, because I really, really need to start taking some of this advice.
Really?
I think it's a good one, because December is a very heavy stress. It can be heavy and stressful. So I think this is a necessary conversation for me personally, I know, and hopefully to anyone else who's listening and who needs some guidance.
Look, I try to simplify my December with my sister. We're spending December together in Gauteng this year. And while I was in the Eastern Cape for grad, I sat my sister's kids down and I said, guys, look, next year is going to be a hectic year for us. By the way, why do you guys need Christmas clothes? And there was no answer. I was like, we can do away with that, right? They're like, yeah, because we don't go anywhere. We just wear them in the house and then we wash them the next day. I was like, cool. And they said, as long as our feast, the cooking and the likes don't fall away. I was like, perfect. Yes. You got all of that. So, hey, this year, just one stress down. No Christmas.
Try to simplify.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think it's easier said than done, though. I know lots of people do try. And, you know, like, okay, this year I'm going to take it down a notch. This year I'm going to really, you know, simplify and just minimize things just to keep costs down, to protect your mental health. But who knows how likely it is, you know?
You beat me to it, because I was about to say, believe it or not, but that's just one of those things that adds a lot of mental pressure on parents during this season.
So much.
But be that as it may, Charlene, tell me, why does December feel so emotionally heavy for so many people? Even, you know, nothing big is wrong.
I think the big that we're talking about here is just simply, you know, if you add it up, it's the overwhelm of the year that's now catching up with you. It's the last stretch now. We're literally in the last few days of the year. Yeah, few days, actually. And that comes with a lot of pressure, because you've got maybe work deadlines to complete, and that's normal. But personally, you also just start reflecting on the year that has passed. You might feel all sorts of emotions that maybe things didn't go as planned. Maybe there were a few challenges along the way. Maybe you didn't quite recover in the way that you thought. So it might not be something big is wrong, and it doesn't have to be a dramatic process, but it's like these little thoughts and memories that just kind of tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, you know, don't forget about this that happened this year.
Yeah.
And then you put it all together, and this reflection can start to feel quite heavy. And just as you said now, you know, when you're talking about family, there's so much unspoken pressure around this time. That pressure to be cheerful, to be social. I've been seeing this on LinkedIn already, to end the year strong. And Lugo, how I feel about such expressions. So, there's that pressure that, you've really got to finish strong and do your best to get through this final stretch. And physically, I mean, your body is tired. You've had a whole year of holding things together. You might be having had managed a chronic condition throughout the year. So all of these little things, it just starts to catch up. And now's the time where you're supposed to be exhaling and supposed to be relaxing, but that's why it can start to feel heavy because everything starts to now come into focus.
Listen, Charlene, you mentioned being social there, and I must say, I'm one of those people who always feels the pressure to be a little bit more social, especially when I go to the Eastern Cape. I mean, as you know, I just got back from the Eastern Cape after like almost 2 weeks, and I remember promising a friend I'd go see her. It's not that I didn't want to go see her, but I'm out, friend, to be honest. In fact, a cousin of mine who stopped by to see me and we went out and had, lunch together, she said to me, "Girl, you've been here for more than a week. You're about to head back to Gauteng. I haven't seen you." And we were like, "Next day, we've got to meet up," and we did. But the reality is, it's not that I'm ignoring or avoiding anyone. I'm just tired. That's the reality. I love them. They know that. But I'm just tired, and I'll take any moment to just stay at home. And I think, it's the truth with many people as well, They feel pressured to look happy and social this time of the year, December. How can someone recognize when their social battery is running low? Because listen, it does. It does.
It absolutely does. And I wish there was some kind of magic pull for the whole pressure thing because, we've spoken about this before, that pressure comes a lot from yourself internally. But then it becomes something that starts to affect you mentally and physically. And there is this extra pressure, I think, at this time because it's December. It's supposed to be family time. It's supposed to be social time. There's so much emphasis on that. But definitely, I think one of the first signs is when you start dreading those plans that you'd normally look forward to. So it's not that you suddenly dislike your friends or family, okay? But just as you said, you just feel tired before you even get there. Before you even arrive, you're already tired. You find yourself not really enjoying the conversations, not really engaging. Everything just feels difficult and challenging. And you might also realize that when you are in these social spaces, afterwards, it becomes a little bit more difficult, or it takes you longer to recover from those social interactions. And so before, you would go out and you would have a nice time socially, but then the next day you start to feel it a little bit more, and you just don't even feel like yourself. It takes you a longer time to bounce back. Irritation is another big clue. So there's lots of people, myself included, who just I really don't like noise and crowds and just small things like that, right? But let's be realistic, those are things that can't be controlled. That just happens. That's just environment. But if you start to become really bothered by things like that, that's a sign that, okay, my social battery is really, really running low.
It's out.
And I just want to say as well, as we always do, let's bring it back to your health. We always say that your body will talk to you. So you have to watch for things like your shoulders tensing up, your jaw being clenched all the time. You're getting the frequent headaches. You're getting that sense of fatigue where even when you manage to get a good night's sleep, you're not really feeling rested. So it does again go from the mental to the physical. So listen to your body, listen to how you feel, and take those necessary steps to just say, okay, I need to recharge now in whatever way is comfortable for you.
As you're beginning to describe all these symptoms, you're talking about shoulders, you're talking about jaws. I'm literally relieving. When you spoke shoulders, I kind of loosened up my shoulders. You spoke about jaws. I was like, okay, let me relax.
That's
I
amazing.
kind of do identify myself somewhere there.
Love it.
Now, tell me, Charlene, what are some of the real stresses that people don't normally talk about? The things we usually keep quiet about.
Yeah, so when I was just researching our segment this week, and I was when I had come to this, I think, for anyone listening and for me, I feel this is the biggest takeaway. There's so many of these quiet, silent stresses that we don't normally talk about. These are not the obvious things. These are the things that may feel too small. It may feel too personal. It may feel too complicated to explain because it's just so personal to you. So a big one, and we had a conversation about this a few months ago, was about that pressure to be perfect and what it does to your mental health, and it really, I think, comes into focus at this time of the year. Many people feel like they have to be the reliable one. They have to be the strong one, whether it's at work, whether it's in family, relationships, whether it's in friendships. And when you feel like you're tired and you want to say to someone, look, I'm tired and I can't physically or mentally deal with this, you feel like you're letting someone down. And the reason I said it comes to focus, this time of the year, because this is when, you are interacting more with family than I think than you would throughout the rest of the year, and keeping with that family theme, and guys, whoever's listening, I'm not trying to down any family in this and try to say, family is always negative, but there's a lot of family tension that a lot of people carry. And it's not always the big fights. It could just be complicated family dynamics, So some families, for instance, you don't talk about stress, you don't talk about depression. If someone in your family makes you uncomfortable or upset, you don't really say anything because that is the dynamic and context of your family, right?
Yeah, that's true.
That's just the way things are done within that family context. I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong. It may just be how you've been conditioned. So you find yourself just having to absorb it and to keep going. But we know that that's not healthy, right?
Of course.
So we really need to take that into account when we talk about these silent stresses because it really does start to impact you on the inside. I remember a conversation a while ago with someone. We were talking about depression and we were talking about counseling and therapy. And I remember mentioning, hey, wait a minute, I know you're quite close to your sister, so do you not confide in your sister? And this person said, no, you know what? I can't talk to them because I have to be okay for my family. And I thought that was so interesting and so indicative of how so many people feel. But so what she was essentially saying was is that she doesn't get to not be okay because she has to be okay for others.
In order for everybody else to feel okay, she's got to keep
Exactly.
pure.
And that is a huge silent stressor to carry. So these stresses, they add up. They shape how you go about your day to day. They shape how you're feeling right now, coming to the end of the year, keeping in, related to what we're talking about, how much energy you have left. When we spoke about, I think it was, chronic tension, we spoke about that rubber band that snaps. So it's these big and obvious things, but it's also these silent stresses that make that rubber band just finally give up and say, I'm done.
You know, as you're speaking, Charlene, talking about, thing not being able to address things, for instance, with a family member. And I come from the rural areas, of the Eastern Cape, and we come from some of those households where everybody else comes back, Christmas time. It's a new phenomena where we actually don't go home. But generally everybody goes home, and I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I cannot imagine somebody perhaps being harsh towards me, or me not being okay and not being able to address it. I'm not a confrontational person, but be that as it may, I can't imagine somebody saying something to me on the 20th of December, the day I arrive, and me having to keep it in and still claim to be enjoying my holiday when I know fully well I'm actually not okay. And I think as a result of that, something you and I always chat about, the importance of making sure that we set those boundaries. Maybe let's talk about some of the practical ways, in which we can set boundaries this December, especially for people who hate confrontation like myself, or who just don't want to seem rude. What are some of those ways or practical boundaries that we can
No,
set up?
I'm remembering the talk about boundaries that we had, and we said it's so hard to do that. I'm very much that flight person. I don't want to do conflict, so I'll just, leave. That's it.
Same, yeah.
Mentally check out. But it's so hard, right? Okay, and now to be honest, I don't even know if this is the optimal time to set boundaries because we're coming towards the end of the year. You're going to be seeing
Exactly.
family and friends. Maybe you haven't seen people for quite a few months. Maybe it's been a while. There's already so much pressure on the season itself. And with family and friends and the stresses we already mentioned, it might just be too much, honestly. It might be too overwhelming for you to go from 0 to 100. So start with soft boundaries, okay? And that's just things like disengaging from a conversation that's difficult, disengaging from something that makes you feel uncomfortable. Now, to your example, I know you've said that you can't imagine being in a family setting and someone saying something to you that comes out of left field and it's maybe a little offensive, and you can't imagine not, responding in a way that, shows that you're not okay with it. But there's so many people who just they know that if they had to say something in that moment, it upsets the entire equilibrium. It upsets that dynamic of the family. Maybe your aunt or your mom or your grandmother, someone's going to pull you to the side and say, no, we don't do that. Not in this family. So a helpful, soft approach before.
And the truth, Charlene, is that even if you don't set that boundary yourself when that incident happens, sometimes it is so awkward that it kind of unsettles everybody else around you and changes the mode of the holiday. And I think sometimes then you might as well just go ahead and do it, because either way, that person inflicting that wound or actually acting in that way does already spoil the mood. Let's be realistic.
And then you also kind of become the bad person in the equation, which makes no sense because essentially, you're the person on the receiving end of the discomfort. So, yeah, definitely, I think try and do it in a softer way, try and disengage from the conversation. Try and laugh it off if you can. I'm not saying that that's the healthiest thing, but we're just talking about manageable things that you can do in the moment without having to go into a big therapy session, especially if that is not your family dynamic. You really, really have to. Also, again, as you said, what's the rest of the season going to look like? Are you spending the next couple of weeks with the family? Is it going to be like this? So you need to think about what you can do in the moment that's not going to upset things too much without also feeling upset yourself for the rest of that time. Okay. I think it also helps, to kind of just look at your time that you want to give to the situation, to the family, to the event. You don't have to be participating in seeing everybody in social events every single day of the week. You can say to yourself and say to other people, tomorrow is my day. I'm just going to spend that day by myself. I've got things to do. Remember again, we said, it's absolutely okay to sit at home and do nothing. You're allowed to do that. So really look at things that will drain you. Try to find soft boundaries that you can put into place that will work immediately. And then, guys, there's another 11 months of the year coming up. Start working on those boundaries now so that when the festive season, comes around the next time, you're prepared and you know where you stand with yourself and also what is going to trigger you mentally.
Listen, I know we just spoke about boundaries, right? But family dynamics can get really tricky this time of the year, as we just spoke. What's your advice for dealing with relatives who comment on your weight, relationship status, or lifestyle as well? Because they are just those who are self-appointed, my friend.
Self-appointed, and yeah, they suddenly become journalists and reporters as soon as they
Lalela.
see you. It's hilarious, actually. This is something, I don't know about you, but culturally, this is something I've been very exposed to, growing up in an Indian community. There are no boundaries when it comes to aunts and grannies and everybody kind of being in your business. It is very common, very stressful. And one of the frustrating things is that it happens so casually, Luca. It's not even It happens in passing
And you are never
conversations.
Prepared for the comeback. That's the thing.
Exactly. It happens like when there's other people around and then it's with a smile, so that it makes it seem like it's harmless and very benign. But you still end up feeling uneasy because you've been triggered somehow, but you don't know how to respond. So recently we actually did an article on well-beings about mental health triggers, and this was quite interesting. And your brain stores traumatic or stressful memories differently from everyday ones. So when you are triggered, it can react as if a past hurt or anxiety is happening right now in real time. So then that can cause that panic, that dizziness, or that overwhelming fight or flight feeling, even if nothing really serious is happening, but it could just be a left field comment that is a little bit offensive. But you know this in advance, right? You know that this is bound to happen. So it can help you to prepare. It can help you to think about your mental health triggers. You don't want a confrontation at the holiday gatherings. That's fine. So having those gentle strategies ready is important. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with preparing in advance. If you know that someone is going to ask you about X, Y, and Z, there's absolutely nothing wrong with having a prepared stock answer in place. Like, I'm not really focusing. I'm not focusing on that. I'm not focusing on relationships at the moment, but thanks for asking. And how are you? Turn it around to them. People love to also talk about themselves. You can also be a little tougher. You can say, look, I prefer we don't talk about my body or my relationship or my career. There's nothing wrong with that, but again, that depends on how comfortable you are with setting a sort of strong line in the sand. Even excusing yourself, like removing yourself from the situation, is absolutely fine as well. It's all valid. I think it's worth it to understand your triggers. And once you know that, you have a little bit of an easier time in setting boundaries and having a way to get yourself out of overwhelming feelings when you are around family. Also, I just want to say, at the end of the day, this is family we're talking about. There's so many emotions at play, and some people genuinely don't mean things in a harmful way, but they're maybe just, callous in how they come across. But maybe the intention is not to be cruel. It's just they're saying it how they're saying it.
Eish, listen, it's quite a tricky one, I must say. You know how I always say to you, things that trend on different social platforms. I don't know how these algorithms operate, but you'll find that something trends on mine, it doesn't necessarily trend on yours, and vice versa. Recently, and I think it happens, I've noticed it. It's probably second or third year in a row where there is this light joke, well, people make it, where they'll say, "Oh, we're going to December." There's people who are going to remind us that it's their first, their second, their third December without their moms. Guys, we said sorry, or we said sorry, and it becomes a joke, and people laugh at that. Or there are people who are going to remind us it's their first Christmas back home after a divorce, whatever the case may be. And it becomes a joke on social media. But the truth is it's not a joke for everyone. It's not going to be. Sometimes it's my reality and it still hurts. It's not necessarily a joke. While it is for you because, hey, and chances are you've been through a similar experience. But the truth is, you've
Absolutely.
probably healed, or you're maybe even one of those people who heal through making things lighter. Let's be honest with that. Now, for listeners who are grieving, perhaps are not ready to hear that we said sorry, going through a breakup or even dealing with loneliness, what can this month look like in a healthier and more gentle way?
Gosh, Luca, I've seen that, and I think it's so insensitive because there is no right or wrong way to grieve. And if it is your second, third, fourth, 11th Christmas without your mom or your dad, I mean, that pain is still your pain, And I'm a huge proponent of have your struggle days and be okay with it. Don't try to force yourself out of your if you are struggling today, just let it go. Just accept whatever it is you're going through. Don't put any pressure on yourself to do anything except to get through it. The only way out is through. So Let yourself cry and do whatever it is you need to do to handle that grief and emotions. There's no perfect timeline for getting over a challenge, a sadness, a loss. I think it also helps to redefine maybe what the season looks like for you. It doesn't have to be a literal definition. You don't have to be a social butterfly if that's not in your wheelhouse right now. So if you feel that you need to show or express your grief and loneliness, you can absolutely do that. If you feel like you just need to be quieter and more low-key, then yes, you can absolutely do that also. And I think we must just remember, connection, social connection, it doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be in your face. It doesn't have to be what everybody else is doing and showing on social media. For you, it could be a group chat with friends that makes you laugh and smile, and you're still part of socialness. You're still part of a connection, and you're still having that warm embrace of connection with people. So I think your only priority is feeling better in your own time, in your own way, and just navigate it gently on your terms, whatever that means, and just be patient with yourself.
I love that. On your terms. Don't feel the pressure to be okay for Luke or for Charlene. Do
Absolutely.
things your way in your terms. Just lastly, Charlene, what are some signs that someone is emotionally or even mentally burnt out at the end of the year? And how can they reset?
So one of the things that I think we haven't really talked about much is just there's a subtle sign of feeling overwhelmed from small tasks. This is not even like the big things that we all just have to get through, the admin of life. So, things that used to be routine, like just answering emails or doing a household chore, even for some people, just getting out of bed on time can start to feel monumental. Like it feels completely impossible. Maybe you've got an email to answer and you sit there staring at it and you feel this is impossible. I cannot possibly do this. Pay attention to that because that is a subtle sign of feeling overwhelmed from a very mundane task that should not be making you feel like that, right? There's this heightened sense of irritability where, again, you're feeling snappy at small things that should not actually bother you. Emotional detachment is also a very common symptom where you start to lose interest in things that used to make you feel quite nice. It used to bring you joy. You start feeling disconnected from people around you. It could be parents, it could be your siblings, a partner, and all the normal physical signals, which are the tension, headaches, trouble sleeping, issues with your digestive system. This all usually comes along with that emotional exhaustion. And we must say, look, resetting after burnout, it doesn't have to be dramatic. Not all of us, n not many people can afford to have, 4 weeks sitting on a beach and just resetting. That's not possible. So just start giving yourself quiet time, mindful breaks. You are just looking for quick and realistic, feasible ways to help your nervous system recover. And quite an easy way to do that also is just to simplify your schedule. Just look at what you've got to do, prioritize what truly matters. Please let go. I know everybody's got this list of things that they had throughout the year that just kept moving on to the next page. It's the list of shoulds and it's just piled up. It's not going to happen. Let it go. Tear out those pages. Be done with it. And the boundaries, as we said, come back to your boundaries, start working on your soft boundaries, and just take that time to reflect, find out what will make you feel comfortable, and keep doing more of that. And just look at this time, I guess, as something positive that you can do for yourself, so that when you step into the new year, it's not a whole new you, but it's just the beginnings of a whole new you.
Listen, you are a well of wisdom. You know, I always say this. You
Oh,
certainly
no, thank
are.
you.
Thank you so much, Charlene. But I know that we can get more of these. I've been keeping eyes on the WhatsApp channel, even. Maybe if you can enlighten us on how we can get more of this information, that'd be really great.
Thank you so much, Luca. It's really always so lovely to be here. I feel like we have such interesting discussions. And it's always so nice to learn from you as well and get, hear from your experiences. And I really hope this is truly like a special and reflective season for everyone. We always say it's never a bad time and it's never too late to focus on your health. So definitely use this downtime. Come on over to wellbeingsafrica.com. Start your health journey, continue your health journey, pick it up wherever you are. Wellbeings Africa is really your wellness hub with all sorts of content. Whatever it is that you are trying to accomplish on your health journey, we are here to help you. All the content is free. And definitely, as Lucas said, we've got a WhatsApp channel, Wellbeings Africa, and we just do weekly tips on there. So we've really made it super, super easy for you to just join us anywhere on your health journey.
Oh, Shani, thank you so much, my sweetheart, and have a lovely afternoon further and the rest of the week. Have a great one.
Awesome. Thank you, Luco. Take care.
You're at 657 AM. Radio carrying 24 hours a day. 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Prayer, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
The search continues for top quality South African Christian music. If you are a new artist or releasing a new CD, then send it to Radio Pulpit. For more information, please visit the Radio Pulpit website. That's www.radiopulpit.co.za. Or phone us during office hours, 012-334-1200. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.